fitter, happier. A program about your health for your health.
Good morning and welcome to Fitter Happier. Western Australian public hospitals are currently experiencing very high demand. There are more presentations and longer wait times in emergency departments, which makes it increasingly difficult to get care to people who need it most. Many people are attending hospitals for non-life-threatening injury or illnesses that could be treated elsewhere. There are a range of options to get treated before going to an emergency department. Here to tell us more about alternatives to ED is Dr. James Williamson from the WA Department of Health. He is the Assistant Director General and Head of the Clinical Excellence Division. Good morning, Dr. Williamson.
Good morning, Maddie.
I want to ask you, why are WA EDs experiencing such a high demand at the moment?
Yes, well, I should say that Western Australia isn't unique. This is a phenomenon that we're experiencing throughout Australia and indeed internationally as well. In some places, it's obvious that we've got a pandemic, and that would explain a good proportion of the extra demand. We don't have that here in WA, but nevertheless, COVID is having an effect. So I think we've had a year-on-year increase in the number of presentations to emergency departments. So, you know, that goes with population and various and aging of population, et cetera. And on top of that, we're moving into winter now, and we always have an increased demand during winter, due to particularly in children, you know, respiratory infections, flu, RSV, and vomiting and diarrhea, sort of winter vomiting. What we've noticed over the past year or so is a trend to increase complexity of the patients that we're seeing. So we normally categorize the severity according to our triage categories. So one would be, you know, immediate life-threatening problem, have to be seen immediately, and down to five, which can, you know, wait for a couple of hours if necessary. And those are the groups, the latter groups, which we think there is a proportion, not entirely sure how many, but certainly a proportion who could be seen by general practitioners. But what we've seen is a general trend to a higher complexity. We've seen certainly an increase in mental health presentations. Some of that may be due to the effects of COVID in society, you know, lockdowns, concerns about the economic future, etc. Some of it might be due to our inability to access services in the community. We're certainly having a long, hard look at that. And we have got a proportion of people in mental health inpatient units who are staying for quite long periods of time, and therefore it's difficult for us to use those beds for people who need the care urgently. So those are some of the things which I think are contributing to the pressure on our emergency departments, and that's showing up as delays or queues forming. And you see the time to be seen, the time to be treated in emergency departments, or indeed, if you arrive by ambulance, the time for the ambulance to be able to hand over your care to the emergency physicians.
Mm, and like you said, yeah, the winter is something that is a factor. Of course, you said with children, the respiratory problems and, you know, colds and flus and things like that that might cause emergency, you know, going to hospital and things like that. But also what really stuck out was mental health issues that are on the rise due to COVID, you know, response being in lockdown. I guess people are feeling isolated and things like that, and a lot of other pressures that might contribute, which is why I want to ask you, is this only happening in Western Australia, or is it something that we're seeing nationally as well?
Oh, no, this is not just national, it's international. And as I say, in those countries which have been particularly badly affected by the COVID pandemic, then this is at critical levels. We're seeing effects here. We're seeing it in our school children. We did an important study in collaboration with the Department of Education, TKI, that's Telephone Kids Institute, our colleagues in the Child and Adolescent Health Services and WACS, where we looked at about almost 80 schools around Western Australia, public schools, quite a diverse variety. And we asked kids, we asked the parents, we asked the teachers, you know, how are you feeling? And we found that in comparison to a very similar study done about 6 years ago, there were very significant increases in psychosocial distress experienced by our teenage school kids. Now, It's difficult to really be sure that that's attributable to COVID or the events of the past year, because we don't know what happened in between 6 years ago and now. But there is a suspicion that it's making a contribution. So we're seeing that. And obviously people are, periodically in lockdown. That can be, disorientating for elderly people who can't see their families. And of course, lots of people in Western Australia have got families overseas. They're worried about them. They're unable to travel to see them. So these are contributing. And I mentioned, of course, the economic consequences in some places too.
Wow, so there are heaps of factors contributing, affecting both young and old, like you said, and of course financial and economic burdens as well. Why should people avoid EDs unless it's an emergency?
Well, one of the reasons is, well, first of all, EDs are there to deal with emergencies, and something that might appear to be urgent, it often can be managed by a general practitioner. Now, as I say, there's a lot of debate as to what proportion of people who are going to EDs could be seen and treated by a GP, but we estimate probably somewhere between 15 and 20%. Why is it better to do that? First of all, you're seeing your local GP. They tend to know you. They know the background. They're able to assess you in the context of what they already know about you and the family. There's an option now because obviously sometimes difficult to get to see your local GP, but we have set up what's called an urgent care network. So this is probably about 130 general practices now through the metropolitan Bunbury, Peel and Collie areas, which have agreed to see patients not on their list urgently if required. So we've got an urgentcare.com, gpurgentcare.com website where people can book in to available slots in nearby general practices. St John Ambulance have also got urgent care centres in Forsyth, Coburn, Armadale, Cannington and Joondalup. And those are other options for people who are seeking urgent care, but perhaps not emergency care.
So we've addressed where people can go if not an emergency department. So we addressed the GP, there's the urgent care network, and you addressed also the website as well that people can look onto as well. So when should people go to an emergency department? I know this sounds like a very simple question, but, you know, for people that may be confused with calling up an ED or, you know, going to hospital, where should people go instead?
Right. So it's difficult to give you a straight answer to that, because obviously there's lots of different situations, and people and the families are often best placed to judge whether general practice is the best place to go or not. And what I might just talk about is kids, because that's often an area where there's a lot of uncertainty. And I don't have any definite answers to this, but I would direct people to a fabulous video from Dr. Kate Bradman at PCH Emergency Department. And you just have to Google PCH and coming to emergency. It's on YouTube. But there she goes through some of the conditions that in kids could be adequately managed by a general practitioner. The minor injuries, the coughs, colds, the ears, diarrhea, vomiting, and non-urgent mental health issues. And then she says she also tries to identify some of the warning signs where probably a trip to the emergency department would be the safest thing. Any breathing difficulties, obviously, if your kids are a bit blue around the lips, that would be a significant warning sign. Any major injuries, fractures, deep wounds or bleeding, head injuries, burns, allergies, and if you're worried about meningitis, you've got a rash that doesn't fade if you press on it, your kid's a bit off colour, isn't responding so well, headache, those are some of the things that might raise concerns in a parent. So those are some of the things, but I would direct people to that fabulous YouTube video by Kate Bradman. We've recently introduced an emergency telehealth service for acute mental health issues in children and adolescents. And there's an emergency telehealth service number, again, available from the PCH website, which people could use in those circumstances. And of course, there's the Health Direct website, or the Health Direct telephone number, which is probably one of your important sources of information. And that's 1-800-022-222. And there you can get general health advice, what might be treated by a GP, what requires treatment in hospital.
There we go. So for parents out there who are a little bit confused, definitely check out that video. It was by Kate Brendan? Bradman. There we go. Kate Bradman. And check out the PCH website. And of course, as you said as well, the telehealth, and there are also other resources available out there. So what are some of the main conditions or illnesses that people are presenting to ED that should be going elsewhere?
Well, there's a number of sports injuries, for instance, that could be managed by general practitioners. And there's some non-significant mental health issues, which, you know, and it's all very well for me to say go and see your GP in the community or go and see a local psychiatrist. But actually, I do totally appreciate that there is not easy access to mental health services in the community. And sometimes the only alternative is for them to present to emergency departments. There's, you know, a lot of the minor chest infections and things which could be assessed by a general practitioner who could then make a call as to whether the person should go into an emergency department or not. And where people are presenting with a number of effects of chronic disease. And again, it's often the case that they haven't necessarily been under the long-term care of a general practitioner who could be preventing a lot of the problems that people are presenting with, like maybe a high blood sugar or something like that, or someone with long-standing diabetes. So those are some of the things that might be presenting.
So sports issues and chronic illnesses as well. And sometimes, yeah, like you said, go see psychiatrist or your local GP if an ED is...
I don't want to give the impression that you know, psychiatrists are readily available in the community.
Of course, like I was going to ask you, what will happen if people keep presenting to ED in these same numbers, in these large numbers?
Well, the system is pretty resilient, okay? What will likely happen is that people will wait longer, all right? So we have what's called, we don't refer to it as a four-hour rule target, but we like to see and treat and either discharge or admit people within 4 hours. That's what we would like to be doing. But at the moment, across the whole of WA, we're probably only able to achieve that for 2 out of every 3 people presenting to an emergency department. So people will have to wait longer. And of course, people will get frustrated if they have to wait longer. And we just have to make sure that people maintain the respect for staff who are working under difficult circumstances in fairly sort of stressful situations. So, you know, those are some of the things we have to watch out for. So largely the problem is around the queues that we develop. We will see people in the order according to their clinical priorities. So we make an early assessment as to, you know, how urgent the treatment needs to be. And then we will see people in the order of that prioritization. So again, if people come in and they don't have something that's assessed as being particularly urgent, then they might have to wait for a long period of time. And the option might be for them to decide to go to a local general practice or look to alternatives. But generally speaking, once somebody attends an ED, we are obliged to see through their care.
Of course. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Williamson.
Not at all. Thank you, Maddie. Thanks for the opportunity to speak to your listeners.
Of course. Thanks very much. That was Dr. James Williamson from the WA Department of Health. Dr. Williamson is the Assistant Director General and Head of the Clinical Excellence Division.